Good morning. This is The Takeaway, and we are covering all morning President Obama's Nobel Peace Prize acceptance speech, or lecture. It's formally termed a lecture. And we're joined again by Charlie Sennett, the executive editor of the Global Post. Charlie, I want you to listen to one particular thing that the president had to say in his speech.
Where force is necessary, we have a moral and strategic interest in binding ourselves to certain rules of conduct. And even as we confront a vicious adversary that abides by no rules, I believe the United States of America must remain a standard bearer in the conduct of war. That is what makes us different from those whom we fight.
This appears to be a relatively large departure from his predecessor in his office. And he mentioned several times these oblique references to not using torture and not participating in extreme measures to combat terrorism. What was your reaction to that particular part of the speech?
I think that's an extraordinary part of the speech. And I think it's really why I would call this an historic speech. You know, Richard Haass said this is a mature speech. And David Sanger said it's an interesting speech. And James Fallows said it's Obama consciousness. These are very smart people who I respect tremendously. But I feel like there's some hesitancy on the part of many of us to recognize this, the tremendous skill and oratorical power and intellectual capacity of this president. And I think what makes this speech historic is that, you know, I've covered the war in Afghanistan, I've covered the war in Iraq, I've covered insurgencies and terrorism, and I've never heard anyone more clearly articulate what is a just war and what is just peace in a struggle against terrorism. Although, very precise, very clear.
Although, Charlie, we should note the Nobel Peace Prize is not a forensics award. I mean, it's not for oratory, right?
That's true, but I think when, you know, Reagan, what made Reagan a historical figure was that he had the power to express what needed to be expressed in order to confront the challenges of his time. The same with Kennedy. And I think that oratory is sometimes what binds us together to see clearly in a time of great confusion and sort of the shadows of a conflict like the one we face against terrorism.
He also made one mention of an oblique mention of the Israeli-Pakistani conflict.
At times, it even feels like we're moving backwards. We see it in the Middle East as the conflict between Arabs and Jews seems to harden. We see it in nations that are torn asunder by tribal lines. And most dangerously, we see it in the way that religion is used to justify the murder of innocents by those who have distorted and defiled the great religion of Islam and who attacked my country from Afghanistan.
Charlie, Senator of the Global Post, did he need to say more about the Israeli-Pakistan conflict?
Yeah, he's weak on Israel-Palestine and has consistently failed to spell out the specifics of how he can jumpstart this stalled, really dead-in-the-water peace process. I put that process in big quotes because there is no peace process right now. But I do think this is one of the areas where he doesn't know where to go. There's a lot of confusion within his own State Department about what direction to take. I do think he's very confident about what he called the purpose of faith and how faith will come to play in what he believes is this way at trying to solve these problems. I do think that's a corner of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that's not often explored enough. Where are the moderates in the religious voices? How could he perhaps draw them out is something I'd love to hear him talk about. I never have heard him talk about it. And he is definitely weak on Israel-Palestine.
And I said Israeli-Pakistan and meant Israeli-Palestinian, of course. But we did have one listener who agreed with you. They felt like they really wanted to hear more from President Obama on this issue.
It's John McAuliffe from Tarrytown, New York. The problem that Barack Obama faces and we face is that his soaring rhetoric has wound up justifying policies that are not very different than George Bush's in Iraq and Afghanistan and also on normalization of relations with Cuba.
We heard some references earlier to this being the Obama doctrine and differentiating from the Bush doctrine. Did he differentiate himself from George W. Bush?
I think he does every time he speaks by virtue of engaging with the world, listening to the world, calling upon the world to work together toward trying to achieve these goals. I mean, that's very different than the disposition we saw in the Bush White House. Also, practical things. You know, Guantanamo closed. You have a situation where he recognizes that Iraq was a war that he wouldn't refer to as a just war. And we didn't hear him say that. But I think he was articulating that the war in Afghanistan is a just war and one that he will execute in a way that he will also effectively take this 30,000 troops as a surge and then begin to build down. And but I think there is a fundamental difference.
I think there's a danger. I'm actually sympathetic to some extent with what that caller was saying there. I mean, there is a danger here that rhetoric ends up justifying the status quo. Guantanamo isn't closed yet, and Afghanistan war is escalated, and the Iraq war continues to go on. Do you think there's a danger here?
I think there's a consistency to American foreign policy from president to president. But I think sometimes oratory is what powers us toward change. That was true with Reagan. I mean, you could say that what Reagan was saying was not that much different than what Carter was saying. Policies were not that much different. But sometimes you need someone to articulate the way forward and get you there.
Well, one of our listeners actually is objecting to the question that we've been asking all morning long, and that is whether Barack Obama even deserves this award at all and needs to earn it.
This is Jennifer from Rhode Island. I resent a little bit, a lot, in fact, you're taking the position that he has to win an award that he's already been given. I don't think anyone has been given the Nobel Peace Prize and then told that they had to then go about earning it.
An interesting comment, though. I imagine that it's one that many people are feeling this morning. Charlie Sennett, thank you so much. So he's executive editor, excuse me, of
the Global Post. Is, the good speech is how you earn it, right, Charlie?
No. She said he doesn't have to earn
right,
it. He
true.
Won the prize. He's
true.
Got it. Case closed.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.